Coming up on TMS, everyone is juicing now.
And how? Unbreakable totally holds up.
Is Florida running out of sand?
Ghostbuster tries to rid you of spirits using his unit.
Whedon is totally cool with Batfleck.
Paula Dean is off another ticket.
Geek food.
Major spoilers.
Eric's app review.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What's that, hon?
My hair is going to look great.
Well, it should with all that shampoo you're using.
Well, it's not every day you take me on a shopping spree.
Then you better put shampoo on your list.
Artie, this is Pearl Concentrate. And just a little makes great lather.
Honey, your hair looks so magnificent, it's a shame to cover it.
Mm. Pearl Concentrate. Great lather for great-looking hair.
Yeah, I like an occasional pair of boobies, you know.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Their milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. It's The Morning Stream. How you doing? It's me, Scott Johnson. It's him, Brian Ibbett.
Yes, it's me. It's me.
TMS for Monday, August 26, 2013, and it's 8:07 a.m. Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. I said zone three times in there. Didn't mean to.
You did. It was almost like Ann Curry. Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Everyone. And this morning, good morning. Good morning. The news this morning. How's she doing? What's she up to?
They've sent her off into some remote mission to cover, you know. Yeah. Ann Curry now joining us from space.
Furthest
from the International Space Station.
Furthest point we could get her to, away from Matt Lauer. Right. Didn't Matt Lauer come out and go, that was a mistake, we miss her, we treated her badly, that wasn't good, something like that?
If he didn't, he should have, because that is absolutely the case.
I'm not really a morning show guy, but, mm-hmm. you know, like morning news person.
Sure.
But I still thought she was nice, and I don't understand why they would mistreat her. It feels like getting bullied by a bunch of peers.
It totally does. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get your Meredith Vieira leaving.
Yeah.
All right. We're moving Ann Curry over to the news desk. Mm-hmm. All right. She's great. She's doing terrific. Oh, and then she goes.
Listen, whenever I go to the local Beto's over here, I always get the smothered Meredith Vieira. It's so good. It's like the best thing they make.
What is a Beto's? Is that like a Greek restaurant?
That's a little Mexican place.
Oh, okay.
What's great about this place, it's funny you should bring that up, because we just went there this weekend at an odd hour. Like, we were starving and nothing else was open.
You brought it up.
I did, didn't I?
Funny I should bring it up.
Funny I should bring that up. And the place is 24 hours, basically.
Okay.
And it's, but it's like, it's as traditional of a restaurant-looking place as you can imagine. But unlike every other place like it, they don't close. No one speaks English. And they work around the clock like the hardest core working people I've ever seen in my life. Just wow. In there prepping the beans and refrying those beans and getting tortillas made. And like, they're just constant going for it. And what I think is going on here is I think there is, and I noticed this at the Thai restaurant we went to this weekend as well, which I really like. And next time you guys are in town, we're taking you there. It's really, really good.
Cool.
Had the pad Thai. It was fantastic. Anyway, it's this old house, right? And it's full of people from Thailand who don't speak any English, just enough to get the menu taken care of, right?
Uh-huh.
They're so hardworking, so dedicated. Everything's on time. No one's an ass. It's perfect.
Huh.
Like, every time we go there and every time we go to this little Mexican place. So here's what I've come to. I believe we are looking at the last vestige of what used to be much more common in this country, which is a representative immigrant group who have come to these United States to plant their flag, to dig out a sustenance, to take their hard work and their ethic and their culture and build something out of it. Because it's the land of the free, the home of the brave, and it's your chance to pull up your bootstraps and really make some of yourself.
Oh my God, if I could only be playing music right now, I'd go behind this.
And it's only your kids or their kids who will be the buttholes of a new generation, who will not appreciate anything and slack around like a bunch of a-holes. That's what we're looking forward to. Because that, it's a thing I've noticed. Like, they're working so hard and it's so efficient and they're so...
Yes.
Focused on
their
craft.
Livelihood. This is what they want to do when they came to this country is, you know, work hard and make it in probably better conditions than they had at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First, well, in many cases, I'm sure that's true. In some cases, maybe not. But the point is that you definitely get that vibe of we are not taking for granted what opportunities we have, and we are going to work for every dime we have. And it's really awesome to see that. I love that because I feel like it's a lost art sometimes. You go to any other kind of hipster crap restaurant in town, and they're all, yeah, everyone sucks. Everyone's just like, meh. You know, narcissistic, what about me, right. You know, kind of attitude about everything. These guys are working their A's off in there. But then I see their kids. They're like preteen / just teenage kids looking like the saddest sacks because they've come over. You know, they've seen the other side of it. This is like my, I hate to say this out loud, but my Korean brother and his Korean wife, very like this, just save every penny and dutifully work every hour you've committed to. And, you know, you absolutely the most highest work ethic you could ask for. And their kids are just kind of like, dude, check out the stars, man. It's like they're shining or something. So it's like that. It's like this shift generationally from first generation immigrant hard worker to slacker, douchebag, butthole, idiot people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Looking forward to how that'll all work out for them when they inherit the restaurant and I no longer go there.
Right.
Anyway. Just a thought, just a note.
Restaurant, man.
Speaking of food, Brian, you've been juicing all weekend. How'd that go for you?
I have been juicing all weekend. I think I've even texted you pictures of various concoctions. Yeah, some tips or some things I've noticed.
Stay away from the beets. Oh no,
I have not done anything with the beets. We went to Costco on Thursday when the juicer came in and just stocked up. We didn't see that's the problem with Costco. Great deals on fruit, big bulk, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But you don't get. You don't get organic, which I think is there's a big advantage to that because you've really got to apparently scrub your apples to get all the pesticides off and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, you do.
You gotta scrub your apples, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I gotcha.
But that said, so far we have not made a juice we didn't like. I mean, we've done things with, you know, we've gotten celery and carrots in there with pears and peaches. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Costco peaches don't last long.
No.
Got to use those up quick.
Use them quick. They're already bad by the time you get there. They're already going south.
Probably.
They are. They're soft and everything smells super ripe. Like, you don't, you got to get in and
get out. Exactly. Yep. Get that after 3 days. It's a liquid pool in your...
Get a cigarette lighter charger or adapter for your juicer and do it in the car.
Just do it.
That's how bad they are.
But man, it's amazing stuff. And so far we've been mostly using it as kind of not a meal replacement yet, but certainly eat less, like have an egg, mm-hmm. you know, a hard boiled egg and juice as opposed to eggs and toast and bacon and juice.
Yeah. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Yeah. We're not like big fat and almost dead or whatever that guy is on Netflix. You know, where he eats nothing but juice for 30 days.
can't do that. And I think you do need to supplement it with stuff that gets you the other vitamins you need, the protein, you know, whatever.
Well, don't forget vitamin D, which stands for diarrhea, which you get from the beet. So go ahead and get the beets and put those in there and see how that goes for you.
And then just stain everything is what I hear.
Yeah. Both times. All right. So that's good. We've been doing the same, and it's good to hear. By the way, big handful of blueberries this morning. Big handful of both kinds of grapes, Concord and the other kind.
Nice.
The white ones, whatever they are. What do you call those? White grapes, I guess.
I guess white grapes. Yeah. There's a part. I guess you just hear a white grape juice, so I guess they're white grapes.
Yeah, I assume so. We put those in there, and then two apples, one pear. That was my thing this morning, and it was fantastic. Cool.
Hey, how do you do? What do you guys do with the kale? Like, do you wad? Like, do you get a bunch of it and then just kind of like wad it up into a real tight ball and shove it in there? Because
yes, kind of. We take them and I'll fill that whole tube up before I even turn it on.
Oh, smart!
And then I'll turn it. Then I'll so it's nice and packed. I'll turn it on. Then I'll just kind of slowly, kind of just tap it, pack down there, and then
I'll get ground up. That's a good idea. Yeah,
kale's great. We do that all the time.
And you need to balance it out with something like lemon or lime or something, right? When you do kale.
Absolutely. Any of the bitter vegetables, you want to put like a quarter of a lime in there. Although, okay, a couple things I did learn.
Okay.
I didn't even mean this to be juice
time.
No,
that's all right. Hey,
that's all right. Listeners at home, this is like the West Wing of today. It's all juice all the time. what was I going to say? I forgot already. Oh, if you put, okay, so last week I made one where I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for a really citrusy orange kind of business today. So I'm going to put in these oranges, but I'm going to put the whole thing in, peel and all. I'm just going to go ahead and put the whole schmear in there.
Okay.
Did that. And I thought, okay, well, that's a really interesting hue everything has. Like, it's all super orange and, you know, but that sounds fine. It smells good. And people take, you know, orange zest and put it on things all the time, or they grind it off or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I learned a hard lesson there. You're not supposed to. There is a ton of oil in those rinds.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't know really. I don't know that. What do I know? I don't know anything. So I just put it in and I said, let's try it. And I drank that. And I spent probably about a day where my skin kind of burned. Like there was a burning all over and kind of a weird itchy, kind of like the DTs, like I was coming down from something.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. And it was, and it lasted about 14, 15 hours after I drank that. And I think I had just kind of a mild reaction to it. Maybe some would have a worse one or some would have nothing, but all that, I did some reading around it. It's a lot of oil, a lot of citrus oil. Yeah. And that's not great to sort of ingest because then your liver's going to try to, you know, create a distribution system to every part of your body. And I was like, I mean, literally my feet would burn. It was weird. So don't do that. Go ahead and peel those oranges. And don't put the whole rind in there. Now, if it doesn't bug you at all, that's not a problem for you. Hell, go ahead and just go for it.
If your skin feeling like burning all day is not a problem for you.
Yeah, if you're okay with that. I mean, at one point I'm like, should I get this looked at? Should I go in for this? Like, I thought, if this is going to get worse, I'm going to have to go to the ER and say, dude, I ate a whole orange rind. What now? And it wasn't just one. It was like three oranges that day. So oranges full of their rinds, full of however much oil that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All in one, like, you know, 5-minute drinking span.
Now, see, we thought about putting a lime in there, peel and all, because peeling limes, that is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, not only that, but I think you're okay with, like if you do a quarter of a lime or something, no big deal. Like,
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. And like a lemon, too. That you're not going to peel those.
Okay.
But when you put an entire orange in there, and it was mostly because two reasons. One, I was lazy and didn't feel like peeling it. They're just navel. It's not like you can't peel them.
Right. Yeah, right? They're easy.
Navel oranges. Is that right?
Yeah, navel. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. As opposed to the army, the ground troops, oranges. But anyway, yeah, I don't do that, guys. Just recommend against it. I don't know if you're sensitive to it like I am or not, but whatever. So during that time, while I'm buzzing, right, I'm having this buzz.
Right.
We decided to do film night with the kids, and we're doing similar to you guys. We're kind of taking a list and, you know, going through our list.
Yeah.
And up this weekend was Unbreakable. The M. Night Shyamalan movie from 2000.
Oh, Unbreakable, yes. Right. For some reason, I was thinking Unstoppable when I read that.
Oh,
okay,
with the train. Right. Yeah. No, this is the Unbreakable with the with your...
Yes, Mr. Glass.
Yeah, your Bruce Willis, your Mr. Glass, your...
Samuel Jackson, yep.
Samuel Mother F. and T. Jackson. Who else is in that? The ex-wife, what's her name? The Princess Bride. I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Sean Penn.
Sean Wright Penn.
Yeah, Robin Wright Penn.
Robin Wright Penn. That's right. She's great in it. Anyway, that movie holds up, and it's pretty awesome, and my kids freaking loved it. Carter couldn't stop talking about it. She dreamt about it. She couldn't stop thinking about Unbreakable. So if you want to see something cool with your teenage kids, I think that movie holds up and is pretty awesome. Cool. So.
We haven't talked about this on the show yet, but Tristan... movie night last week was Pulp Fiction.
Finally. Oh my gosh. You went for it. How did that
finally
go?
Busted that cherry. It was he really liked it.
Wow.
And I'm glad he did. I mean, I'm glad that, cause it's, you know, when you watch it, it's, there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of, some questionable material. As Jerry pointed out, nothing that he didn't get right. By going out to sushi with us and the next door neighbors the night before.
Right.
But you pick up on a lot of new things in there. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got the big MacGuff in the suitcase and you kind of have that little discussion about, well, what do you think was in there and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I love the theory that it's Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard this as well. They, according to Tarantino, I did a bunch of reading on this. He says none of those theories are true, and it was pure MacGuffin.
Just a MacGuffin. Yeah. But something I did notice this time is that breakfast. Mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino must have a thing for breakfast, right? Because Bruce Willis's girlfriend Fabienne you know, is talking about her blueberry pancakes, right, and she wants blueberry pancakes. Yeah. And it's actually the Pop-Tarts going off in the toaster that helps Bruce Willis with the whole John Travolta deal.
Yep, yep.
Vincent and Jules having breakfast in the diner when the whole honey bunny thing comes to play.
Yep.
And who doesn't eat a good breakfast?
Right.
Who eats Big Kahuna Burgers for breakfast? Brad. And what happens to Brad? Exactly.
It doesn't go well for Brad.
It doesn't go well for Brad.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. There, he's got a thing for breakfast and feet. Those are his two things.
Yes,
so right. If you want to see feet or breakfast, go see a Tarantino film. And you're good. That's great. So I cannot imagine me sitting comfortably and watching that with Carter.
Oh, really? With Carter?
Not yet. I need more time, I think, for her. I think it's a personality thing for her. Like, I think I could do this with Taylor. I think Taylor and right. I could watch Pulp Fiction. Right. I don't think I could do it with Carter. Not right now.
Certainly not with Nick.
Yeah. No, not with Nick. He's not ready for this. Not ready for this.
It's interesting because there's a lot of, I mean, obviously it's a Tarantino movie. There's a lot of talk, of course. And a lot of references, you know, to things like Fruit Brute.
Yeah.
Things like that would go completely over his head. But he actually enjoyed the discussion bits too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Jules and Vincent in the diner talking about the religious experience, the act of God that saved their lives and things like that.
Jerry's right, though, that taxi driver lady is a waste of time. What was the point of her at all?
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And
I guess
she's not
good
either. She's just lousy. That's just
she is. She is lousy. She's beautiful, but yeah. She's
well.
But
she
she's
Brian. She makes a hell of a breakfast. And has great feet. So
she's got her purpose is to let you know that Bruce Willis didn't know that he killed the other boxer.
And that was it. That was her whole point in her life.
Yep.
And her feet. And the blueberry pancake she had on her feet earlier.
That's right. And there are no taxi drivers that look like that ever anywhere in the world.
Nope. Well, good. Well, here we go. We continue our movie series with our kids. Next up for us is Back to the Future 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We've seen the other two. It's time for the third one.
Oh, good.
Everyone's excited about it, including me.
Oh, yeah. See, I think it's a good one. I think
two is crap, three is the drudgery of two.
I mean, two is necessary, but I think what kills it is the bad makeup and prosthetics.
It's a terrible movie. It's just not good all around. I don't like the vibe of it. I don't like how it feels.
Yeah.
I don't like anything about it. I feel like it's all of what made that movie, the first movie, so great is
true.
Missing. But three kind of brings a bunch of that
and
back.
Having Michael J. Fox play, you know, his daughter and his son.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It was rough. It was rough.
It was an Eddie Murphy movie, basically.
Yeah. Future Biff or Future Biff's son or whatever it was or whatever right. All that was. Just played by Biff.
Yes.
That's all I got to say about that. All right. What else? What else? Oh,
well,
we just saw Biff in something. What was it? And I was going to tell you about it. Yeah.
That's crazy because I thought that guy pretty much killed his chances for doing any other movies because he's so.
No, he's in something recent. What did I just see where he plays a teacher and he's.
People are saying The Heat.
Oh, The Heat. That's it. Yeah. With your Sandra Bullock and your funny lady.
Melissa McCarthy, okay.
Yeah, that new one that's just out in theaters or is getting close to DVD or whatever now. He's great in that. It's kind of awesome.
That's a horrible name for a movie, by the way.
The Heat,
because there have been so many movies just called Heat, it's just going to get forgotten.
I agree.
Thomas Wilson is the guy. Thomas F. Wilson.
He's great. He says in the show he's only playing a 43-year-old. It's mm-hmm. part of the joke because he looks older than that, but it's because everyone's wearing him out. But he's really, the guy's really like 55 or something.
He's 10 years older than us, yeah.
Yeah, he's old. Older. That's how I'm putting it now. All right, new film sack up, everybody. Silver Bullet in the His House. Go watch it. I had a ball with that. That's where we got that now classic line, which goes like this. If you want to hear the origin for that, then today's Film Sack is there to deliver. Silver Bullet, right. filmsack.com. Go check it out. Okay, time to call Daryl, get a little trek on today.
Yeah.
We're not giving a segment up. We're not letting it go.
Well, has there ever been any question of that?
Well, No.
Okay.
Not me. We're keeping it as far
just,
as
you're I'm. Just trying to get the people to allay their fears to rest.
I'm just trying to stir up some shit. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now. Won't you pull up a chair? It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Looking for another podcast to listen to another way around? Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Go to Awaycast to listen as the guys talk life, games, and everything in between. Right now, until the end of August, the Awaycast is giving away free Microsoft points and subscriptions to Xbox Live as part of their Summer of Arcade giveaway. Just follow, subscribe, and like to enter. Just a few days left, folks. That's the Awaycast. AwayCast.com.
Oh, Daryl, I thought you were cool.
I thought we were cool.
I thought we were cool. Daryl Skeels, ladies and gentlemen, on the line, who comes on every day and does a little Star Trek trivia. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hey, we're eating that weird pink thing today, just so you have it handy.
Pink thing.
Yeah.
The very, very eaten mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
The very, very not eaten mess. I used to know a girl named Eaton. Her last name was Eaton, spelled just like that, E-T-O-N. And I forgot her first name, but she was nice, as I recall.
I think it's an area in London. There's a Clash song about it, too.
Is it Eton? Could be Eton.
I think it's Eaton.
Okay. Chock full of treats, just for Tesco. Oh, right. We knew that. We'll get to that in a minute, but in the meantime, Daryl's here to discuss some things. Daryl, I meant to ask you this the other day. Did you have a theory at all about that weird J.J. Abrams trailer that got released, the black and white guy with a mouth sewn shut thing? Have you seen that?
Oh, I've been doing my dreaded camping duties.
Oh, that's so right. You were camping all weekend.
I haven't been around anything.
But the photos you were posting on Twitter made it look like you were at some fancy resort. Is that not true?
Well, we drove by a place. Well, we stopped at a friend's. It's a long story, but...
It sounds long. And now I'm really curious now because you made it sound all like secret. Is it not a big secret?
No.
It's no big deal? Okay.
It's the place where all the rich people go and they buy these places at this... place up in the mountains, and it's really fancy.
Got it. It's the Park City. It's the Deer Valley of your neck of the woods. We have that. Certainly have that problem here. I don't know if it's a problem, but we have that here. All right. Well, good deal. I'm glad you're back. No ticks or anything weird. You're all good?
As far as I know.
You ever have a tick? You ever have one of those?
Just where my face goes bam for a minute.
I've had an actual tick. When I was 12, I had a tick, and... Worst part about it is the fever you can get with those started to set in.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So my dad woke me up at probably 3 o'clock in the morning because I had a fever. I don't remember any of this, by the way. But apparently at some point I'm standing naked in a motorhome on a table while my dad is checking me with a flashlight.
Throwing dollar bills at you.
Excelsior. Anyway, so I'm standing there. It sounds like that guy from Reservoir Dogs, the old guy.
Lawrence Tierney.
Yeah, Lawrence Tierney. Dance, boy, dance.
Dance, monkey.
So I'm standing there, buck naked, apparently, with my dad, with a fine-toothed comb type arrangement with a flashlight checking for ticks. And they found one. It was in my arm. Oh. And they did the old-school method, which is you take a match, you light it, then you quickly blow it out, and then you touch the head of the tick, and he's supposed to back out.
Yeah, well, you touch the butt of the tick.
Or the butt of the tick, and then he goes, oh, shit, and comes out, right?
Yep.
Something's burning my ass. And I did this, or he did this, and it worked, I guess, because everything went fine. The fever went away, and I was fine. But now experts say that's not the way you do it. Like, that will actually make it work. It makes them barf their poison into you.
Really?
Yeah, they'll yak it into your arm. And they say most of the methods that people thought you're supposed to use to get rid of a tick don't actually work, or at least if you might get lucky, but occasionally, one will be fine. But most of the time, they actually vomit their devil juice into your arm or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look it up, but there was some big thing about it. I don't know why I'm bringing all this up. Oh, because you went camping. Well, welcome back. It's good to have you back. Daryl, it's Trek time, Star Trek trivia time. I got one here for you. This is, what is this? Oh, this is interesting. Daryl has recently gotten into playing Cards Against Humanity with the Frog Pants community. Is this true? Have you done this?
Oh, it's true, yes.
All right. He is pretty good at the game. Which actor from the original series has their own card in the base set for the Frog Pants Cards Against Humanity game?
I don't know. Goodbye.
Is it A, Leonard Nimoy? He wrote Nimoy here.
Nimoy.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy. B, DeForest Kelly. C, William Shatner. Or D, George Takei.
Oh, wait. I know this.
You do?
Oh, good. I'm glad this is easy.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, it makes me happy. Don't answer yet, though, because before you do, we got to do one of these here right here.
Are you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Whoa, those all ran over each other. All right. We're going to eat our final candy bar thing from Europe. This has white chocolate chips, some kind of white chocolate, strawberry something swirl in it, and then bits of flesh from a human being in it, from the best I can tell.
A block of creamy white chocolate packed with freeze-dried strawberries and raspberries, swirled with raspberry flavor, pink chocolate, and studded with pieces of sweet and crunchy meringue.
Oh, meringue. Okay. Got it.
Wow.
Not human flesh, then.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's all right.
It kind of looks like Captain Crunch might have barfed into this.
Yeah, like a little bit of...
Yes.
Oh, wait. Again. Did he have a famous phrase? I don't think he did. Sorry, but Brian?
They're great. No, I'm just going to... I don't know what Captain
Tony
Crunch.
The Tiger had that. Who is the follow your nose?
Or something.
You follow your nose. It's always... It always knows. That's the bird. The tricks are for kids. Let's see. Honeycomb's big. Yeah. I can't think of anything else for them.
It was Lucky Charms, the leprechaun.
Hey, you'll never get me Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
They're magically delicious. So there's that. I don't know. Did they? Chat room, help us out. Did Captain Crunch have a phrase? A saying? Crunchitize me, Captain? Really?
Yeah, that's the newer one, yeah.
Well, that makes
me... Yeah, which really does not sound good.
No, that sounds terrible.
Crunchitize me.
Yeah.
More sugar, kids. There you go, War Crusher.
That's about right. Hey, kids, how about some more sugar? I'm doing this thing where I'm breaking before I even open the package, breaking it at that middle part where you get some white chocolate chips and some pink flesh.
Ooh.
Some dried flesh.
I don't like it. You know what it is? It's white chocolate, like really well-made white chocolate, and I don't get along. Because it's not really chocolate, is it? It's like, I don't know. I don't know what that's like. It's like making out with a pastry chef.
And a florist.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
A ménage à trois.
No, I got no problem with that.
I do. I don't like it. It's a white chocolate thing for me. I can't do it.
I don't hate it. I don't like raspberries because of the seeds. And this kind of is raspberry seeds.
Yeah, that's true. Brian Dunaway, who's in the chat room, says, "Shut up, Scott Johnson. White chocolate is awesome in peanut butter. Is it? I've never tried it that way."
Ooh, I'll bet it is. Wow.
There are probably Nestle white chocolate, what do you call them? Peanut butter cups, right? That probably exists.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Could get?
Sure.
Yeah, why wouldn't they do that?
I'm going to throw this in the juicer and see what happens.
Are there Reese's? Yeah, they're Reese's cups. Okay. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I Am Sci-Fi says, I read that in Brian Dunaway's voice, too. Thanks, FilmSack. okay. Well, good stuff. Or not.
My scrote.
Depends on who you are. My scrote. You guys know what we're talking about?
My scrote.
There you go. All right, Daryl, it's time for you to shower us with birthdays. Tell us who was born today.
Ah, there was somebody. It was Chris Pine. He's 33.
Ooh, he's a hunk of a man, that guy right there.
He is. Speaking of Unstoppable.
Yeah. I liked Unstoppable. If you guys want to see the last Tony Scott film ever made, see Unstoppable. I like it.
It is currently, the disc is sitting upstairs in our Netflix received area waiting for us to watch it.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the Tony Scott that you love, because his movies were always kind of Bruckheimer-y and ridiculous over-the-top action movies, but they always were peppered with really good performances by great actors. That's how this movie is.
Cool.
It's kind of ridiculous what's going on. But you're believing it all because these guys are grounded and awesome. And both Denzel Washington, a Tony Scott regular, and Chris Pine are fantastic in it. And so is the girl back at the control room. And I can't think of her name, but you'd know her if you saw her. Yeah, totally worth seeing. It was fun. I saw it in the theater.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it was great. Daryl, happy birthday to him. And let's all celebrate by, what should we do? We should...
We should answer a question.
We should answer a question in Star Trek world. So what do you think about this one with the Cards Against Humanity thing? Is it this is that special character from the set, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, William Shatner, or George Takei? Leonard Nimoy.
Well, we were sitting in a group during camping playing this very game, and it was my turn to be the judge. And so somebody cleverly thought, oh, he's a Trek person. I'm going to throw in the William Shatner card.
Oh, think it's the Shatner?
Yeah. And I said, well, that's not the funniest thing. And I'm not just going to pick this as the winner because I'm a Trek guy. So.
Wow.
Okay. So this just happened. Yeah.
He's not an automatic win. Yeah, that was like 2 nights ago or something.
Oh, okay, good. Well, nice timing there, Ice Warm. By the way, William Shatner, I will be within inches of him in a week, not about a week and a half, when he's here at the Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Yeah, if he doesn't cancel.
Yeah, he should be here. I mean, all signs point, there have been a couple of cancellations, but he's still there. Riker, Richard Hatch, you know, that guy from Battlestar.
The Survivor guy or Battlestar Galactica?
Battlestar Galactica. He's at every convention I've ever been to or heard about.
Totally is, yeah.
That is what he does, I think, for a living now. Anyway, I'm going to try to get Shatner's signature. I'm going to try real hard. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's find out from our judges.
Prepare to pay for it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dude, if you're a dollar short, you think Q's hard to deal with.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no.
Try dealing with Bill. All right, here we go. Let's find out. Judges, is he correct?
Congratulations!
What?
You're a winner!
You're a winner. You're a big, big winner. William Shatner, there's a white card in the set with his name. Mike hosts a Cards Against Humanity game every Saturday night online. Follow Ice Warm on Twitter to find out times and location. Here's a clip of Randy Jordan after drinking a terrible shot with Reggie, Mike/Icewarm, and others at Nerdtacular 2012 when he uses cards from the card or from the game to describe the shot. So here you go, an old clip.
Let me look. Cards Against Humanity describe what I just ingested. Dead babies, right there. First card. Dead babies is what I just ingested.
Gross. Dead babies. Gross. That's horrifying.
Oh.
I think you had to be there, and you had to be drunk. All right, thanks, Ice Warm.
The mods are now asking Randy to change his name because that's an inappropriate.
Very inappropriate. You've been kicked out of the chat room.
Guild name.
Thank you, everybody, and Daryl for participating today. It's always a fun time, good times. Daryl can be found on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, a fantastic podcast about Star Trek. Is there one this week?
There will be, but I won't be there because of a reason why. Because there's people going to be in the house, so I can't really record.
Oh, I'm going to start using that excuse. I can't be there, and they'll say why. I'll say because of reasons why. That's what I'm going to say from now on. I like that. That's pretty good. Right. Who can because argue with that?
Yes.
Daryl's also the Trek Nerd on Twitter. All right, Daryl, give us a little quiz here at the end so we can see who's smarter. And so far, I'm like 100% on all these.
Yeah,
so.
You are. You've nailed these.
Yeah.
Weird.
Okay. It is, what's this contest here? It's Trek, I almost said Trek Mineral, but that doesn't make sense. Is it a Star Trek alien or an actual mineral?
All right.
Okay, and let's see. What do I do here? I'll just pick that one.
All right.
No, that's too hard to say. I'll pick this one. Gibbsite.
Gibbsite?
Mineral. I'm going to say mineral.
I'm going to say alien.
Oh, don't just say that because Brian said what he said. It's a mineral.
Damn it. Yes. It's a freaking mineral. William Gibbsite is a fantastic author. You should read his book. Neuromancite. All right. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Embassy. It's a podcast by two British dudes who love reading, kneading out. Oh, nerd. That's probably supposed to be nerding.
Nerding out, I think.
It says kneading is what it says. Mm. Who love nerding out over American TV. For the next 6 weeks, they're covering the final episodes of Breaking Bad with new shows every Wednesday. Apply yourself and find them on iTunes, Stitcher, and at poddle.fm/seed. No more half measures.
No more half measures. I changed
Poddle?
That.
Poddle.fm.
PODDLE.fm/seed. That sounds like some British piece of thing, doesn't it?
Good to a Poddle.
Yes, our brand new radio type internet broadcasting system known as the Poddle. Poddle FM. All right. South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Running out of sand. This is a thing. This is a real thing going on.
Save the sand.
The state known for lots of Back to the Future references today on the show. We got more.
That was actually unintentional. I was just thinking protesters out there.
Oh, I thought you were meant like save the clock towers. Who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
The state known for its sunny beaches is report. Is that all it's known for? Really? Is reportedly
crazy citizens.
Yeah. Is reportedly running fast out of the precious commodity due to an erosion from storms and tides. It's a natural occurring thing, and then people make it worse. A rising sea level and the man-made structures like Yetis. Is it jetties or Yetis? It's jetties, right?
It's jetties, yeah.
All right. I don't like saying it. That have been built on beaches, causing sand to build up on only one side of the structure. Quote, it is quite a concept, but unfortunately it's true. Jerry Scarborough of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers told NBC News of the sand scarcity. Sand scarcity. That's pretty good there.
That's good.
According to the New York Times, communities who live along Florida's Atlantic coastline have been replenishing their beaches by dredging up offshore sand for decades. But in South Florida, the situation has become dire, with Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties facing a shortage like none they've experienced before. We're running out of sand offshore. We're pretty much vacuumed everything up, Stephen Leatherman of Florida International University told NBC.
We've pretty much vacuumed everything up.
Yeah. I think what they mean is they've used all they can offshore. Yeah, what are you going to do? You're messing with nature, so.
Exactly.
You're going to have to let
Before
her
long,
do what she
America's
wants.
Wang is going to be America's nub.
Yeah. Exactly. Although, nobody wants sand on America's Wang anyway, right? You know what I mean?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Scratches.
Yeah, don't eat orange rinds, really. They really messed me up, dude. For about a day and a half there. It's just like, I was buzzing. It's hard to explain. It was
lazy. Just lazy is what that was.
It was lazy, and it caused all kinds of issues. Like, if I'd had a real, I don't know, like a citrus aversion or something, or some like deep-seated allergy reaction that just had never come out yet, that would have been the day. It was really weird. Anyway, Ghostbuster. A real-life Ghostbuster in the news.
Oh, a real-life one.
Yeah, his name's Huang Jingjing. I don't know if any of that was said right.
We're here to believe you.
Yeah. He allegedly tried to perform an exorcism with his penis.
Oh, jeez.
So it must be a real thing. Must be a licensed professional.
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Wait. I can't believe I beat the tadpole to that one.
I can't either. We'll blame that one on the delay. Huang Jingjing was arrested this month in China's Guangdong province. I've been there, by the way. The Guangdong province.
I'm the keymaster.
For allegedly convincing a woman that he had a penis that could rid the evil spirits of her vagina. That's the female sex organ.
Nice. So using the Ghostbuster as a way to... get into women's pants. Perfect. Well done.
Everything seems legit. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
According to a translation of the Southern Metropolis Daily by the Global Times, the victim allegedly came to the self-described Ghostbuster because she needed help seducing her boss, who she had a crush on. So that was her deal. It's like, I really want to seduce my boss. Well, you've come to the right place here at the Ghostbuster place.
Must be the ghosts, the evil spirits in your vagina. Here, let me clear that up for you.
Yeah, that's when Jingjing... That's when he pitched the unorthodox exorcism idea. From the Global Times, it says this. Huang then convinced the victim to have intercourse after explaining the ghosts in her vagina were preventing her boss from falling in love with her. Ghosts he could only catch with his penis. Unquote. So look,
wow.
China is the world's Wang, I'm telling you. There's
That's
stuff
just
going
amazing
on.
That it that is successful.
Yeah, it worked out. She, in other news, her boss has been seduced.
Right.
Today's sponsoring that bit of tripe is our friends at tweakedaudio.com.
Lucky you guys.
Yeah, lucky you guys. Way to go. Got an email from a fan yesterday, and it's too big to read here, but he basically just sent it. The subject said another success story of Tweaked Audio, and he went on to explain his amazing experience with them, their customer service, the way they helped him, is bar none, just about the best I've ever heard. And I don't know what it is they've got going on over there, what magic they concoct. But these are fine, upstanding individuals that really want to help you guys and give you good products for the good for the best price. And they'll take care of you. You need replacement earbuds, go pick up a pair right now at tweakedaudio.com. Lots of styles and colors to choose from. They're all durable. They all have noise reduction, and they all have a lifetime warranty. Later in the show, we're giving away two pairs right here on the show. Nice. To people who entered a contest over the weekend via Twitter. I have your random names. Two of you are winning brand new pairs of Tweaked Audio earbuds today. For the rest of us, let's all go to tweakedaudio.com. Click on, buy. Buy the pair you want. Get what you want. But make sure when you check out, use the code STREAM. That'll get you 33% off your next pair of fantastic earbuds at tweakedaudio.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Hey, all you crouching tigers and hidden ninjas out there, you need to listen to Hiya, the only podcast that thinks a flying sidekick is Tonto on a Pegasus. We're an ecumenical martial arts podcast that features wide-ranging interviews, news, media reviews, and high-level mouthboxing of interest to serious martial artists and the simply curious alike at HiyaPodcast.com and on iTunes. That's HiyaaPodcast.com.
I love the name, but yes. I know they must have thought about this, but man, that makes that name is hard because you have to spell it.
It's hard for people to search for. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
is it two Y's? No, it's one Y, two A's.
It takes guts. It takes guts. That's all I'll say.
Ecumenical.
Yeah. I like that word.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know what it means.
I think it means, you know what? We're going to have to look it up. I've heard it in a sentence before.
Representing a number of different Christian churches, according to Merriam-Webster.
Yep, you're right.
Ecumenical.
I had a guy on Twitter yesterday send me the word. Oh, he said something about how me and Dills were in the back pocket of Blizzard because we are oogling.
We love everything they do.
We were ogling Hearthstone.
I love that episode. I listened to that on
Friday.
It was great.
I thought it was great, too.
Yes.
That was really good. So I wrote back and I said, whatever, we love the game, so I don't know why it's not okay to love it, but we really like it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, by the way, it's spelled oogling or ogling, and I gave him the right spelling, and I said, we're here to serve, right? Because it was just spelled wrong. He put two O's or something. And he wrote me back and said, checkmate, and gave me a link to an Urban Dictionary post. And the Urban Dictionary post had it the way he spelled it. And I went, now, wait a minute. Do we live in a time where there is an entire generation that thinks that Urban Dictionary is the actual That's dictionary?
Right, exactly.
Because he was sure of it. So I wrote back and said, dude, any other dictionary, that one's fun and it's a good time. You know, GURPS in there, for heaven's sakes. You don't want to look it up. Don't look it up.
Yes, no, no.
Well, there's one entry that says the best hunter in the history of World of Warcraft, but there's others.
That one's okay.
Yeah, that one's all right. But there are others in there that you don't want to read. But, you know, I wonder. That's the first place he went when I challenged his spelling. I went, hey, it's not two O's. Well, hold on a second. Let me check the foremost authority on spelling. Urban Dictionary. All right. Moving on. Whedon.
Not a reference.
Joss Whedon, director of The Avengers, creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and of Firefly and of many other tightly held geeky things, right? We love Joss Whedon.
Sure, sure.
He's backing the Ben Affleck choice for Batman, which we'll talk about more with Stephen McSchleicher later today on the show. Joss Whedon, he backs the Batfleck, as we're liking to call him.
Batfleck. Nice.
By the way, we haven't really weighed in on this. Well, you know what? We'll wait for Stephen
for the
weighing
in. Yeah, let's wait until Schleicher, because I have thoughts.
I have thoughts. And I'll bet mine are like yours, to be honest, if I had to guess. Ben Affleck just got a very important geek endorsement as Batman director Joss Whedon, the Avengers and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. director. Oh, yeah, that thing's coming out soon. When's that out? That's real soon.
September, yeah.
Okay.
I cannot wait. I'm super stoked for that.
Should be pretty good. A director entered into the heated Batman discussion on Friday night, which pretty much took the internet over for about a day and a half. Whedon tweeted, quote, Affleck will crush it. He's got the chops. He's got the chin. He just needs the material. Affleck and Henry Cavill toe-to-toe. I'm in, he added in a later tweet. The super tweet came in the midst of a heavy online criticism about the decision that Affleck would play Batman alongside Cavill in the Batman-Superman movie set to release my birthday, July 17th, 2015. Not much more to say other than that's a good endorsement. And I'll save what I think here for a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paula Deen? Because I want you to be here for that.
We will. I will be.
Should be. He doesn't get here till 9:20. So
okay.
It'll be tight, but we'll have you for 10 minutes.
Cool.
Paula Deen. You know her.
Paula Deen.
Let's see. Do we have any clips of Paula Deen? I think we might. Let's see here.
Something about a
tater. I was so embarrassed about the size of my penis.
No, that's not one. That's not it. That's not it at all.
That's not Paula Deen.
I can't.
It's very distressing.
Distressing. That's the one we want. Distressing. Here we go.
It's very distressing.
That's the one. That's her.
Just hit me in the head with the rock as hard as you can.
She kind of said, that's what she said, right? She told Matt Lauer that.
Yeah. If there's anybody else, you know, glass houses kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If there's anyone else who's never done this sort of thing, accidentally said something you shouldn't have, then okay, it's me. Then, you know, hit me with a rock. Mm. It just seems weird even saying it to try and make sense out of it seems weird.
It did seem weird. Yeah. Everything about this is weird. By the way, every time someone says glass houses, guess what I think of?
You think of Billy Joel.
I do. And that album where he's about to chuck a rock at the glass building.
It's still rock and roll to me.
Every time. I don't know why. It's burned into my head. Can't not get it out.
Because I think we probably experienced that album before we really knew the idiom well, you know?
Mm. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, for me and you, for that age, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was my first exposure to it. I really do. Yeah. I don't think anyone ever said to me, "Now, son, you don't throw rocks at glass houses." I don't think anyone ever said that to me.
Right.
Or
right.
Wait. How's it going?
People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
That's what it is.
maybe you still don't know the phrase that it's
based on. I still don't get
it.
Wait, now I'm not supposed to throw rocks at people? Is that it? Okay. That's funny. So anyway, Paula Deen she was headlining for this cooking expo thing, and now she's been dropped from it. It's a huge, like the world's biggest cooking conference. She is still headlining, but she's dropped from the ads. So they're advertising her anymore.
Gotcha.
She's headlining, which is funny. It's a huge giant food expo in Houston next month.
That's hilarious.
You wouldn't know it though, because two ticket sellers are refusing to put her name on or her picture in the advertising. The event in the Metro Cooking and Entertainment Show. And by the way, let me say one thing real here, sure, quick. Sure. I've noticed every TMZ article ever posted, ever, always in the first paragraph, ends with comma, TMZ has learned.
Yeah.
Unquote.
Because
that's all SEO, isn't it?
It is. It totally is. Yeah. Somebody's going to quote that article and they're going to get that first paragraph because you got the lead right there in the first paragraph. Mm-hmm. And TMZ is right there inside that.
And
so
it's going to be search resulted and it pisses me off. I don't like
brilliant.
It. I don't like it. I don't like it. Because we know they've learned it. TMZ has learned.
We've gotten it from your site, but
we figured
it's
out.
Brilliant. It's well done.
All right. I don't like it.
That kooky lawyer with his straw sticking out of his coffee tumbler.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
I know the one.
Levin guy.
I know that one. The event is the Metro Cooking and Entertainment Show, and Paula was supposed to be the main attraction, but sources connected to the expo tell us she was drowned last night in a bucket of lard. Just kidding. She didn't do that. Groupon.
She's caught in the back room making love to her tater.
Groupon and Living Social are actively trying to distance themselves from anything Deen related. Instead, the companies are featuring much lesser known chefs in their ads, like Terry French and Marty Duncan. Who the hell's that?
No idea.
I
would have guessed country star, really. If you would have given me the name Marty Duncan, I would have said, oh, he's probably a country singer.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Here's Duncan. A new hit from Marty Duncan.
What is it? His cover of Achy Breaky Heart. Take it away, Marty. I noticed that.
It's not even the cooking show, the Metro Cooking Entertainment Show that's doing it. It's just Groupon and Living Social.
Yeah, well, they're the ticket sellers for this.
Well, they're not the ticket sellers. I mean, you can go somewhere else to buy. They're kind of secondary ticket sellers. It's like get discount tickets for the cooking expo,
right?
From here,
Living Social. What do they even do? I don't even know.
Same thing as Groupon.
Oh, okay,
it's right. One deal a day, $10 off of hair coloring services and Scrimshaw, Maryland, or whatever.
Stuff you and I never give two poops about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, give me a Groupon for two video games for the price of one. Then we got a deal.
Yeah. Hey, I like it. They come out with ones for the sushi place I really like, and always snagging those up. Always buy as many as they allow me to buy.
Yeah. Love me some sushi. Mm-hmm. According to this, though, ticket sales in general, with her name off the ticket for these other services, are taking a giant hit. They've dropped.
Sure.
Because nobody knows who Marty Duncan is.
Right. I think actually you put Paula Deen on there because she's going to be a draw. I mean, you're gonna go see her and, oh my God, I saw Paula Deen, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you know she's going to get Q&A time, and you know that it's going to be questions about this crap again. Like, you're gonna get more ticket sales if you just put, who cares? Put her name on there.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you support racism, okay? It just means you need to sell some tickets. Just relax, everyone. I'm going to get emails about that.
I think you've got it's a good point you make.
I still get heat from white people saying that we're too hard on white people on the show.
Really?
Yep, that we're too hard on white people on the show.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not just one or two either. It's a fairly sizable. I think most of it comes from Wendy's comment where she said white privilege. I don't remember what the comment was, but since then, it's just been, I'm tired of whites taking such a beating in this country. We're
Scott
just constantly
Johnson doesn't care about white people,
despite the fact that we're still majority and still own everything. we're taking a real beating. It's like people that claim that Christianity in this country is taking a hit, even right. though every president we've ever had is a Christian. My headphones popped out.
Oh.
I couldn't hear you ridiculing me there for a moment.
Oh, no. I was just kind of waiting for you to
get my crap together.
To finish the thought. Yeah.
Waiting for me to do a professional podcast.
Right.
But yeah, this idea that people are getting, I can't deal with it. That whites are being oppressed right now. Come on, man. Really? We're being oppressed. Oh, woe is me, Brian. I'm so oppressed. I'm an oppressed white man.
Yes.
Anyway.
Help us.
Yeah, help us. Please help us. All right. When we come back from this little break, we're going to talk to the Geek Food Ladies. I'm not sure which order yet. I think we're going to go Eric. So App Slappy review with Eric, then the Geek Food, and then at about 20 after Major Spoilers. I think that's how it's working today.
All right.
Mondays are nuts, but let's get to a song. What do you got?
Cavalcade of Stars is what it is. Mm-hmm. This one's going out to Trivially Travis in the Tadpool. It says, Dear Scott and Brian, August 25th, 2012 was the day I married my lovely wife, Jenny. 1 year later, I'd just like to tell her that I love her and commemorate the occasion with a song, More Today Than Yesterday, originally by Spiral Staircase, covered here by Goldfinger.
Goldfinger!
Right. He says, apparently this is the song that also plays during the credits for The Waterboy with Adam Sandler. Didn't know that.
Didn't know that either.
I might check out that whole soundtrack because there's a bunch of potential covers on there.
Don't watch the movie, though, again. Bad.
Yeah, no, the movie's not good.
Never good.
Yeah. It was a good skit.
Yeah. It was a good 2-minute skit on SNL at about the 1 a.m. Period of
Adam,
SNL.
It was Alec Baldwin, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like well after your second music break and you're getting close to one.
Yes, right, exactly.
That's when you play that skit.
Oh, we have some people defending Waterboy. At least one person.
You know what? These are people that were like seven and just thought
it was
the funniest thing.
Oh, that was Canteen Boy. You know what? That's right. That was Canteen Boy, not Waterboy.
Oh.
Canteen Boy's still funnier than Waterboy.
I agree.
Same. Come on. It is the same Adam Sandler voice for everything.
Yep. It is.
Oh, okay. Don't you want some water? Yeah, same thing. Come on.
I like Adam Sandler. Don't get me wrong. I do like him. I think Happy Gilmore and the first one with him at the desk. What's that called school?
Billy Madison.
Yeah. Those are both fantastic movies.
Yeah, and Big Daddy's even good.
It's all right, but the rest of it. Yeah. Do I need to point any closer to you than Little Nicky? Can we all talk about that piece of garbage?
Geez.
Yeah. Holy hell in a biscuit.
And if you haven't seen Punch Drunk Love, I know you have, Scott.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's so cool to see him take a step out. That and Rain Over Me is also
really
good.
Both really good. And you know what? Yeah. When you see those movies, you go, yeah, you know what? He can do some stuff.
He can do some stuff.
But then he turns around and plays his twin sister. in a movie.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
Or grown-ups or whatever. All right, anyway.
So bad.
But we digress. This one's going out. I even forgot. Trivially Travis, More Today Than Yesterday by Goldfinger.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. When we do, we'll do all that stuff I mentioned before and more. Stay tuned.
Candy. They'll burst all over your mouth in cherry, grape, and orange.
Pop Rocks. Taste out of sight. Pop Rocks.
The crackling's what's happening.
For drier, happier babies.
I am not a robot. I am a unicorn. This is the Morning Stream.
Everybody, that was a rousing rendition of that song. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Really good. Nice pick.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, nice job. You know your cover music. I'll give you that.
Hey, you got to thank Trivially Travis for suggesting that one.
That's true. That's true.
I'll take some credit because I played it. But
that's right. Indeed,
I proved it.
I will take only a tiny bit of credit for double clicking it.
There you go.
So there you go, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It is time for us to... now, what order did I say I was going to do this in? I think we're calling Eric first, right?
Eric first, yes.
Okay, so let's Let me get my shite together here.
Something nerdy, then something geeky, and then something dorky.
Something dorky.
I think is the order. Yeah.
This is how you do anniversaries or something. Is that what the deal is?
Right, exactly. First anniversary is nerdy.
Got it. I think I've got it. Okay, here we go. So, Eric. Now, I didn't collaborate a timing with him, so hopefully this isn't too early. But I think we're okay.
Okay.
So let's do a little themage here. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
App slappy.
So good, man. Can't wait for his new album to come out. It's going to be really good. Eric, are you there?
Hello.
Good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. How can we? How is it we haven't had a random game of Hearthstone yet? What's going on with that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I play you the other night? I noticed you were on, and it seemed to pull the same guy twice. What's your character name in Hearthstone?
Akito.
Okay, that's what I would have expected. So it was not you then. Oh. I played twice in a row.
The only random person I've ran into has been Sam Jane.
Yeah, okay. I did that once with Randy and then once with another random... Oh, who was it? No, I don't remember. Oh, just another Blizzard dude. But so I've had a couple of randoms with Blizzard people, but yeah. Usually I'll challenge one of you guys. The problem is, this is the stinker, and I understand why they do it.
It's the same thing in first-person shooters, right?
Right. You don't get any XP if I fight... If I challenge you directly as a friend, I get no XP for that fight, but I do if I picked you randomly.
Right. Exactly.
It's frustrating. I don't love that.
It keeps people from gaming the system and artificially leveling their dudes.
That sucks, though, because you want to be motivated to play your friends. Right?
Totally, yeah.
And there's no value in that. I don't know what the ultimate release will look like and if this gets tweaked or something gets changed or something, but it seems to me that if you're just going to throw the game over and over so your friend gets XP, then...
You're not getting anything out of the game either yourself.
I guess you're not. So why would you? I don't know. I don't understand why people cheat.
Well,
anyway.
I think the probably is because they have those quests.
Yeah.
Daily quests.
Right.
You earn coins when you beat people with certain classes and certain game amount of games, and so you could actually game the system and not spend any money buying new decks with just coins, right?
That's true. If you kept going, that's how you'd make your. That's true. So this is probably a money protection thing. It's also I suppose, a player protection thing. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just, I would love to be able to challenge my friends and still work on XP. Because when I'm in the middle of, like, a practice round or something where I am getting XP or I'm just playing a random opponent, I'd like to keep that progression going. So when I get a challenge mid-game from one of you guys, I'm much more motivated to do that if...
Because you're playing against somebody you know, right?
Right. If I could keep getting XP... then that would be awesome. But because I don't, I have to admit there's a hesitation. It's like, well, Scott Kurtz wants to play but right now, but I don't know because I'm in the middle of this fight and I'm about to win and I'm going to get a bunch of XP when I finish this and I'll hit level 13 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's frustrating.
Well, the thing is also it seems like every time I'm playing you, I beat you a couple of times and you're like, oh, okay, I got to go build my deck.
Yeah, I suck, dude. I'm not great. I'm not a great player at this game. But we need to play. We need to play some more. Yeah.
But the thing is once you hit level 10, there's not really anything new you can get for that character.
What, like extra, no class cards or whatever. So all
no,
you,
I mean, yeah. once you hit level 20, you get a gold card, which is exactly the same stats as the regular card, but it's just gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I guess you can disenchant it for lots of dust, I guess.
No, dude, I bought $50 worth of cards and got one legendary. Brian, you did it and got two, right?
I got two, yeah. Plus the one that they give you, the free one that they give you.
The little gnome guy.
Yeah.
With his amazing contraption, which usually isn't that great for me.
Oh, really? Oh, the ones I've been getting, I get a thing that heals all my dudes at the end of every turn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but it also...
When I play him.
It heals everybody, though, even the enemy.
Oh, does
it really? I didn't notice that.
Yes.
Oh, that stinks.
That's why that card's weird. That card's weird. No, everything he poops
even
out.
Even there's a card where it like will give at the end of the turn a random player extra attack points, two extra attack.
Yeah.
It can even give it to your enemy.
Yeah. I've had that happen to me. That's
because
funny.
It's just like the engineering in World of Warcraft where it can malfunction.
Right. Because it's crap. It's gnomish engineering. It's garbage. Well, there you go. There's our review of the day. Goodbye, Eric. Just kidding. We're going to talk today about an app in the iOS store. This is kind of a continuation of the app's slappy vibe right here on the program. And Eric, why don't you take it away? What do you got? What are you doing?
So the app I'm reviewing this week is, it's I've seen a little Twitter buzz about it. It's called Thresher.
Like the kind, like a farmer would use?
I guess.
Or they thresh the
It's spelled Thresher.
Oh. Of course it is.
Like Flickr. Got it.
Of course it is, exactly. But what it does is it goes through your Twitter timeline and kind of puts the... It aggregates all the hottest links of your Twitter timeline into one place.
So wait, hottest... like if somebody's...
It's like PlayStation, the New York Times, Mashable. So it takes all the, you know, like, oh, I walked my dog this afternoon, that stuff out of the Twitter, your Twitter feed, and just puts the popular... links and hot the most popular links that are going
stuff
on
with the most buzz.
Okay. So what, how do they determine that? Is it they're following Twitter trends or what? How do they know what's popular and what isn't?
I think it's just the most popular. They say it takes the most popular links is in the description and puts them in the, you know, in the your Twitter timeline.
Interesting.
And the thing, so and it's and the funny thing is this actually is looks very iOS 7-esque.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
the way it's designed.
The Helvetica. Yeah, look at that.
So this is called Thresher?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to download it. Here's my question. So is it like if you had to compare it to something? So Tweetbot does this new feature, relatively new feature, where you can filter all your posts, either people you follow or your replies, by ones with media, images or video. And that's a pretty cool feature. I really like that. If I'm just looking for, all these photos, Instagrams, whatever, that's a great way to filter in there. Is it like that, but just here's popular stuff?
I think it takes it a step further because like when you do that feature with Tweetbot, you get all people's personal Instagram photos also in that because it's pure media. This is actually taking links to articles and, you know, just the popular, like, you know, I got, I'm looking at my thing. I see lots of stuff from Laughing Squid, Polygon, you know, Guy, Mashable, Kotaku.
Right. So big media outlets, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I guess that's one way to do it. That's easier than, I guess it is easier than going and making a list. Like, because there's lists in Twitter where you can create a list of all your favorite tech sites or whatever.
Right.
Yep. It's just doing it for you. But what if it misses somebody? What if there's some hot thing and you don't know it?
Well, the thing is it's interesting because it actually puts it in a ranking system where there's numbers of where it's, you know, with the number one is supposed to be the most popular, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So if you had to, what's it cost? Is it free or is it cost?
I think it's free. Should be free.
Is it? Okay. Well, there you go. Free is good. I always like free.
Never mind. I guess it's actually the highest number is the most popular one.
The highest? What do you mean highest number? Highest?
Because there's a number like my highest,
the highest
one
value.
Okay, got
it. Is the PlayStation post about Final Fantasy 14?
That's too bad because I hate Final Fantasy. I really do. I mean, I don't understand. I've never understood why that game series is so popular. I don't. Huh. I've tried them all. 7 all the way through. Well, I probably played a little 3 back in the day, but 7 gave all my heart to, and that game sucked.
Yeah, I know it's rated this way because I went down to my number one, and Brian Dunaway had one down there, so I knew that couldn't be the most popular one.
Yeah. By the way, it's good for. Yeah, how could it be? That's great news. How many 138 pound scrotums would you give this one out of 5?
Did I miss something at the top of the show?
No, it was a few days ago, but I just week, yeah. The minute I heard it, I went, oh, that has to be Eric's next
rating.
It's going
to be a rating
system. Yeah, it has to be.
Surgically removed, by the way.
Did he have it taken off?
Soup, yeah.
Who got to keep it? Where did it end up?
I'm sure it's like at the Smithsonian or something.
That's what I wonder. Do you dispose? Okay, so if you go in with a giant testicle bag, do you just throw it away? Do they take it someplace?
I imagine they probably do some testing on to figure out How did this happen?
And
then they give it to the Mythbusters.
let them shoot medieval arrows at it and stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Today on the Mythbusters, how far away do you have to be to shoot a big giant ball sack with an arrow? Coming up. All right. So how many of those giant testicle bags would you give it?
Give it like a three and a half.
Three and a half? That's seven balls.
Yes. The funny, it's useful, but if you just want to think, I wish it had like some of the read it later, Insta paper and stuff like that would be great.
Yeah.
To have something like that.
Adam from the MacCast at Nerdtacular turned me on to Pocket, which I've really been liking as like an alternative to Instapaper because it can do YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. It can do, everything.
All kinds of media, yeah. That one's really cool. Like Adam's good for recommendations like that. And there's also a nice soundbite on the show that Iceworm can copy out where you said, Adam Christensen from the MacCast turned me on and then cut it right there. And we do it just like the Veronica one, right?
Just like the Veronica one.
Yeah.
Can we play the Veronica one?
Sure.
I got to credit Veronica Belmont for turning me on.
There you go. Right there.
That's good. Thanks, Iceworm.
You had one on the final score the other day that I thought would be really funny.
Oh, who, me? Something I said?
Yeah, you said a butt-safe environment.
Really?
Iceworm,
okay.
Get on that.
Yeah, Iceworm.
Get on that now.
I think you were talking about the where death threats and stuff were happening in the game community, and they had to create an environment that was a butt safe, something, butt safe environment.
Like butt, meaning butt, like butt, not butt. But yeah. Here, Mike, we're not paying you for sitting around. Go get it. Actually, we're not paying him at all, but yeah.
So did you notice one of the Apple icons has been updated for iOS 7 already?
No, which one? I know they did a bunch of those early on. There was a bunch of changes the first
couple
weeks.
But one has been released and is living on your iOS 6 right now.
No, what is that? What?
If you look at your Find, I don't know if you have the Find iPhone icon, app.
I do.
Is it updated?
I just did. Oh, look at that. You're right. That's one of the new iOS ones, or iOS 7 ones.
It is.
That's funny you say that because I had to use it yesterday, so that's why I updated it yesterday. Because Nick or my daughter couldn't find her iPad, and so we had to, kick it on and do it. And I didn't notice the icon though. That's interesting. Ooh, sneaky.
It's coming up.
Sneaky nuts. Very nice. Very well done, Eric. Look at Eric. Van Sky Hawk stands for his eye, and he has Hawkeye. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. Eric, how's the album coming? Are we close to release?
Yes, we're very close.
All right. I'm so excited for this. Eric's new album coming out ASAP. You'll hear about
it
here on the show.
When does it drop?
Yeah. Do you have a date yet? No date?
No. I'm waiting on some stuff. So.
All right. I understand. Well, we got to wait on stuff. I get it.
It's coming. It's coming, though.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned. Eric Van Skyhawk. Skyhawk's new album coming to a downloadable service near you. Are you doing hard copy stuff or no?
Not at this juncture.
Not at this juncture. All right. Maybe the next juncture. All right. Eric Van Skyhawk, everybody. Hakito on Twitter. Follow him, and we'll see you next week for another app review.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
It's working out well. I like this app slappy business on Mondays.
It's great. Yeah.
It's nice. Now, all you Android people who've been complaining that this doesn't have any Android coverage, thinking about occasionally bringing somebody in to talk about an Android app.
Cool.
Yeah. Just to balance it out, because neither of you or I aren't really big Android dudes. I mean, I know Nexus, but
I do have a tablet. I have a Nook Color HD.
Oh, I didn't know you had a Nook.
Yeah,
Didn't you buy the Nexus 7 when it went on sale or something?
I did, and then I sold it for more than I paid for it, and brilliant. I felt really good about that.
Perfect. I have to admit, the new Nexus 7 looks pretty hot.
The one I'm excited about is the Surface Pro.
Oh yeah,
the only I know reason, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, the sales are tanking and it's doing terribly. But artists love it.
Yes.
So sadly, we're a small demographic who don't represent
the
larger market.
Somebody brought one to Nerdtacular and I had a chance to draw on that thing, and it's just it feels so natural.
I never got to, but yeah, Penny Arcade's Mike Krahulik loves it. Thinks it's awesome. Loves it for his portability and all that. Anyway, there you have it. Let's call Steven Schleicher. because we're going to make the girls wait.
Look at that, 9:20. Yeah. Perfect.
Because I don't want you to miss this.
You might be, I was going to say, you might be doing geek food without me. Looks like you will be.
You never know. Let's see if this is still an auto answer. Oh, I can actually see his head there.
Just waiting for you.
I don't know why. I thought I was going to not see your head. It's all good. Well, here's your theme. Can we give him a theme? Here you go.
They seem to flagellate.
There you go. It's Steven Schleicher, everybody, from MajorSpoilers.com and the Major Spoilers Podcast and Major Spoilers on Twitter and Major Spoilers everywhere. Steven, it's good to have you back. We're right on time, right? Everything going okay for you today?
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Today we talked about video gear in the military.
Oh, wonderful. Is that that's a thing? That's a topic?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, good for them. Men and women overseas. Good luck. All right. What are we doing here? Let's talk about stuff that's going on. We had a bunch of discussion on Thursday's Comic Dorks about Ben Affleck being named as the new Batman.
I'm Batman.
And and it was pretty breaking news, like literally right before we recorded that news hit. So there's been some time for that to kind of permeate and for the internet to lose its crap. Four times
lose
over.
Its crap it has.
It surely has.
There, you know that there are people petitioning to have Ben Affleck removed as Batman.
Yeah, because there's not enough real problems in this world.
Because people are crazy.
So here's where I stand, and then I'd like to, Brian, I want you to chime in on this real quick.
Sure.
And then Steven, I want you to give your kind of aftermath, your thoughts in the aftermath of this announcement.
Sure.
I'm perfectly willing to see how it goes. He's not like the guy I would have picked right off the top of my head. If I was in charge, it wouldn't have been probably not my first pick. But I don't know. It'd probably be fine. Everybody thought Heath Ledger was a terrible choice for the Joker. No one remembers this now because he nailed it. But at the time, everyone's like, what? That guy does nothing but like rom-coms and gay cowboy movies. How's he going to bet? Right? It was really bad. Like all you do is go back. There was a great image capture of all of the tweets / blog post / whatever in 2008 or 2007 or whenever it was announced. And people lost their crap. They just were all upset, all freaking out. And if you look at it now, it just makes us look stupid to be so full of hyperbole and so prejudgmental about anything, especially when it comes to stupid pop culture. So who cares? My point is, we have no idea until it happens. We didn't know what George Clooney's run was going to look like until that piece of crap came out. Now we can look at it and say, yeah, that's a terrible movie.
And I think people beforehand were like, oh, George Clooney, all right. He's got the chin. He's got the acting chops. He can do it.
Yeah. And it was bad.
And he's got bat nipples.
It was bad.
I don't think it was George Clooney's fault that movie was
no,
so bad.
Of course
I think
not.
It was
it's not
Schumacher's.
But then I would also argue, this is the same problem. I would also argue that the problems some people have, I didn't hate as much as some, but the problems people have with Daredevil, you can't lay that all at the feet of Ben Affleck.
Right, right.
So why the hate and why the stuff, I don't really understand. But my stance on it is, you know, when people say, well, he's ruined the character forever. I can never watch another Batman again. Well, then you're a freak
fine.
And I don't have time for you.
Exactly.
Let's have a real conversation like adults where you can say, well, let's see it first. Then we can make a judgment. We can't until it does. We have no idea. I'm more worried about the the director at this point that I am the actors in it. So just wait and freaking see. So where are you at with this, Steven?
I think this is a brilliant move by Warner Brothers to get someone who is high on everyone's radar. Whether you love him or whether you hate him, people are now focusing on Ben Affleck as Batman. And that's exactly what Warner Brothers needs. They need to be drawing attention to their superhero properties as opposed to letting Marvel and Disney say, hey, look at us over here and garner all the attention. So from a pure business model mode, this is a brilliant casting choice. And there are so many people who are just fans of Ben Affleck who may not even care anything about Batman who will go and see this movie. And the people that are hating – gonna probably bet they're gonna go check out this movie too.
They all
I'm not
are.
Saying that they all are, but I'm just saying that there's gonna be a number of people go, well, I'm just gonna go to this movie so I can prove how bad Ben Affleck
but
is.
I promise you, this dude,
that's
even those
Warner Brothers wants
those people saying they're not going, promise
oh, they're
you they're going
go. Yeah, they're gonna go, of course they are,
of course they are.
Affleck wouldn't have been my first choice.
No.
But I think he'll do fine. The trick is not pulling off Batman, it's pulling off Bruce Wayne.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you can put just about any actor in the suit, have them do the whatever, you know, just punch people, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's pulling off the, do you believe that he is the millionaire playboy, the billionaire playboy that, you know, slightly broken inside. That's what he needs to be able to play.
Sure. And you can speculate, and we can all speculate that he will not be a great Bruce Wayne or that he will be a great Bruce Wayne. We just don't freaking know. Mm-hmm. I don't know until he gets up there and does it. He's done some pretty cool stuff. Like, he's really kind of a badass in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, is our comparison to use. I don't think Argo so much, but that is the comparison to use. If you're looking for a broody, angry, and acty, that's some that's some good stuff. So I'm not pro. People think I'm pro Ben Affleck. I'm not really. I mean, I don't really care that much. But I mean, when people heard Nolan was going to direct those last movies, people are like, "What? The guy that did Memento? I mean, that movie's cool and stuff. Mm-hmm. But really, he's going to Batman? Like, no one believes anything until it happens. That's the whole point of this. People need to do the work, and then you judge the work. You don't prejudge it all. This is more of my problem with the internet right now. And I feel like I could go off for days on it, but really it's just, to me, it's simple. They need to make the movie and then we can see.
You know, they have a lot of, we've talked before on Comic Dorks about the Man of Steel cast is basically back for the sequel. One person's missing though in that whole discussion of characters that we're going to see in the upcoming Man of Steel 2 or Batman versus Superman. It's Lex Luthor.
Mm.
Oh. And there's quite a bit of rumors going on that Warner Brothers is holding off that announcement until we hit the final episode of Breaking Bad.
Jeez, well, I can't imagine why.
Wow, Aaron Paul as Lex Luthor. That's brilliant. Unless it's Superman, and it was a Batman.
It's going to be Hank. It's going to be Hank. Just pick your bald guy, and that's your next Lex Luthor. Right. No, the idea that Bryan Cranston could be Lex Luthor is pretty exciting to me. Even though it seems like typical Hollywood thing to do, it seems mm-hmm. too obvious. But to me, this is an opportunity like Patrick Stewart was for Professor Xavier.
Right.
To me, it's the same thing.
They feel like they can only go with people who are already bald. Like, hey, look at like me. That's the hardest
I can play the fat Lex Luthor from the Silver Age.
Right. No, you'd be Kingpin in this one. You could be Kingpin.
There you go.
Spacey was the only, you know, well, and I guess you go back to the original Superman movies, but it just seems like, you know, there's only talk, and Professor X can only be played by somebody who's already bald. Mm-hmm. You can't just shave somebody's head.
Well, in these two cases, there's more there, and I agree with you with that. That part seems obvious, but it's also that Patrick Stewart has this quiet approach, this mm-hmm. kind of fatherly thing where he's careful with his powers and understands the value of the mutants and all this stuff. Like you feel like he could play that empathetic character, and then
well,
by the
also,
same thing, you could see Bryan Cranston can play evil,
oh, sure.
man.
Yeah, yes. And of course, it also helped that prior to that movie, Alex Ross had painted Patrick Stewart as Professor X in the Marvel's comic book series. So a lot of fans had already gotten that into their mind, just like Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury in the Ultimate Universe. It was already embedded into the comic, so it was already in people's minds that, yes, that would be a perfect combo. If you could somehow work Bryan Cranston into an issue of Action Comics as Superman, mm-hmm. I think you'd see a lot of people jump on board on that. The only reason I brought that up is because, you know, with Ben Affleck, there was a huge rumor that he was going to be Batman mm-hmm. like 6 months ago. And he was like, no, 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 no. And then finally the deal fell through or whatever, and they were moving ahead. I think it's because they were trying to work out how many movies Ben Affleck is going to be in as Batman. Is he going to just be in this one movie? Mm-hmm. Or as what we may be hearing today, he may be in 10 movies, mm. A la Sam Jackson. So in the same way with Cranston, he may be working to get multiple movie spots going forward. Mm. And it wouldn't surprise me if part of the deal is Zack Snyder gets to direct Man of Steel 2, but it's going to be Ben Affleck that directs Justice League movie.
Yeah. Well, all this talk about Cranston is great and all, but I actually am excited to see where Aaron Paul ends up more in some ways, mm-hmm. because I know Cranston can do whatever he wants. He can write his own ticket now, but I would like to see Aaron Paul in some interesting roles. And do you think Cranston's too old for Lex Luthor? Maybe just aren't those guys supposed to be closer in age? Superman and Lex, is that not the case?
That's, I mean, well, the Smallville TV show.
Well, yeah,
made you think that, but no, they don't. They certainly don't have to be. And I actually like the fact that Lex Luthor is this older dude who's like, mm-hmm. What's this young, you know, super punk doing?
Get out of my yard.
And Batman should be older, too.
Yeah.
So yeah. I like the fact that, Ben Affleck is an older dude and they're not just sticking, you know, hot boy of the moment into the Batman costume.
Yeah. Brian. Ben Affleck is younger than you and
well,
me and Scott.
Than us, yeah. But well, he's still in his 40s. He's barely younger than us.
Barely.
He's barely younger than us, exactly.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's got a little
You know, it's not freaking Ryan Reynolds or, you know, Chris Pine or something like that.
Although I like Chris Pine.
I do too, but not in my Batman.
No, but he could be something else. We'll think about him for a while. All right. This is...
I gotta jump.
Oh, you got to bolt. Yeah, you're going to the airport. Yes. Have fun, Ryan.
See you guys.
Yeah, see ya. Put that thing in the notes, will you? And I'll take care of it.
We'll do. It's in there.
All right. Bye, Brian. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. So one other quick thing here. Any further anything about this Bad Robot teaser? Do we have any?
No, we don't know anything.
Okay. And if people haven't seen this, Majorspoilers.com has it, and you can find it other places as well. But it's this kind of mysterious, weird short from Bad Robot, not necessarily from J.J. Abrams. We can't tell what it is. It's not some sort of interstitial, hey, let's get ready for... Star Wars thing, best we can tell. We don't know what this is.
I think it's a TV series.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be a... And I think just the fact that it's in black and white has nothing to do with how it will be portrayed. I just think that as a teaser, let me tease you, this could be a flashback, a memory, a dream that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But I really think this is going to be a summer television series.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's just the vibe that I got off.
Well, they always have something on the air and that one about the Alcatraz thing didn't work, and they had the one before that just ended. What was that? That everyone really liked, the Fox show, but the girl in it.
Oh, Fringe.
Fringe. Yeah. That's it. That was a Bad Robot joint. So there's a void right now for Bad Robot entertainment on TV. So perhaps this is it. I like your theory. It's not bad. Also, finally, Man of Steel, the film, the DVD and Blu-ray release, arrives in stores just time for the winter holidays.
Mid-November, I think it's the 16th that it hits. Going to be 4 hours of extra bonus content for the Blu-ray version and only like 30 minutes of bonus content for the traditional DVD version.
Wow. Why such a disparity? There's more room on that DVD than that.
And more room on the DVD and probably to encourage more people to move away from old technology into something that's hip and cool and now.
Oh, all right.
You know how it is. Yeah, I mean, I went to our Hastings the other day and they were having a 5 VHS movies for $10 sale.
Oh, VHS?
Yes.
Holy crap.
And it was a big rack of VHS too. So
I would only get those for like some weird vintage stuff that I wouldn't even have a way to play them.
I know.
It's just to put really them on the weird. Shelf, you know, like the weird Disney ones with the Easter eggs on them, like the porny.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid. I have that somewhere in this house.
So do I.
It's awesome. Oh my gosh, there's wieners and stuff in it.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, do us a favor, do yourselves a favor, and visit often and regularly. Bookmark it if you must. Majorspoilers.com. It's a great place to go. What is happening? What is going on over there? Anything of note?
We've got some interesting things going on with Critical Hit, Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast, and of course, Munchkin Land. Very soon, I'm hoping we will be playing the new Munchkin Pathfinder game on the show. Nice. People can check that out in the Frog Pants Network.
I've been hearing a lot about that. That should be awesome.
Yeah.
And somebody got a chance to play, David Michael, friend of the program, got a chance to play Raffle with the artist, with him.
Oh, Dave.
With Dave. Right. Like there at the show at Gen Con.
John Kovlik, that's his name.
Yeah, John. Cool. Yeah. So I don't know why I couldn't think of it right now, but because I talk to the guy all the time. But anyway, that looks really good. If you're a Munchkin fan, then there's so much going on at Major Spoilers, it almost hurts.
Yep.
Steven, have a fantastic day. Thanks so much. And
you too.
May your Batfleck be better than you hope. See you later.
How do you like that?
Whoops, I got him off. All right, hey, check it out, everybody. Time to call the ladies of geek food. All right? You know what I'm saying? If I gotta find it, there it is. Interesting topic today with them. Oh, weird. Why didn't it call her? There we go. Not used to having the phone act weird because I don't have anyone on the line while I do it. But we'll find it. We'll get it. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Hello? Can you hear me?
The third one.
Hello?
We're here.
Technology trouble. Oh no. Hey, check it out. Hold on. I got your thing here. I got to play it. No, and I lost it. Hold on. The geek food is a chicken dinner. Hold on. Chicken dinner. Winner, winner. Here it is. Okay, here we go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
There's your theme for the day.
Oh, Sound like dorks. Thank you.
No problem. So it's Kim Johnson, it's Sarah Brown, and it's their sisters, and they come on here and we talk about nerdy food, sometimes just practical food, but they do a little show on a website called Geek Food. You can check it out at frogpants.com/geekfood. Brian's not here. He had to go to the airport, so it's just me and you two right now.
Oh.
Yeah, so enjoy that.
Up to ourselves.
So here's a question for you. In all of your preparations and all the different kind of food stuff you guys do, and I've seen you do some pretty crazy stuff. I've watched Kim prepare food for like 400 homeless people once in one night by herself, yes, essentially.
That is, yes.
We moved things around and things, and we helped carry some stuff. But really, when it came right down to it, it was pretty much Kim. Yeah, and she saved, you know, saving lives is what happened that night. But here's the big question. The bigger challenge, I think, for you guys as mothers is to try to keep your kids eating well, but also not hating what they eat and going to school and not just eating junk out of vending machines and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask, what are, I mean, just good general tips. Even if your kids are little, if they're old, whatever, what are some good general
tips?
Picky like him.
If you're going to, you send your husband off to work, what's a better way than him, you know, going to Five Guys every day? How do you keep him from doing that?
Well, we've got three rules for packing lunches. All right. We came up with three rules that are just going to be helpful tips for packing lunch. Whether
basic,
it's
because everyone knows these, but sometimes it's good to be reminded.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is trying to get as many food groups as you can.
Like, let's go back to the food groups. Hasn't that changed lately? Isn't there like seven or there's a different pyramid now or some dumb thing?
Is it even a pyramid anymore?
No, I think it's a circle.
What? So when did that all change? I feel like I missed that.
It changes whoever has the most money to buy off the FDA.
Oh, I see. It's a conspiracy. So back in the day, it was a pyramid. Well, okay, forget about the pyramids. I don't really remember how that worked, but I remember the food groups. There was the meat group, or I guess it was like protein.
Yes.
Because there were nuts and like peanut butter and stuff in there. Then you got your dairy group, which now they don't push as much. They used to, though.
Right.
Back in the day, it was like, yeah, you need to eat this cow milk full of mucus and blood because it's going to help you live longer or whatever. But now we're like, no, we don't want as much as that. And then there was like fruits. That was its own group.
Yeah.
Vegetables. Yes. And then what am I missing? Is that it?
Did you say grains?
No, yeah. I forgot grains.
Yeah, grains is usually kind of a big one. It used to be a big one. It's not as big as it was before.
Yeah, that used to be a bigger deal. Now, because of all this gluten stuff and everything, they kind of avoid that one. Yeah.
Right. Because all the GMOs.
So what is it now, though? Describe the current state of whatever we're teaching our kids in school about food groups.
I think generally it's fruits and vegetables should be kind of one of your biggest sections of food.
Right.
So you should get a lot of your nutrients from that.
So it's like protein. Like a pie chart now then.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
Looking at the food pyramid. Okay. So it's a circle.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's like a plate now.
Okay. So it's like a plate. Oh, how cute. How creative.
Darling.
Vegetables are the largest. Then you have your whole grains, which is second, healthy protein,
which are kind of equal amounts.
Yeah. And then your fruits is actually the smallest.
Does it say anything on there about beets being a natural laxative? Does it say anything about that?
Did you have problems with that, baby?
I did, man. Woo. Those are terrible, man. I'm never eating those again. Everything else has been fine out of that juicer, but that stuff. Woo.
There too, babe.
That and orange peelings. Don't do that one either. anyway. All right. So what do you guys do to kind of solve that problem, the whole, you know, get all the food you need, but do it in a way that's convenient, quick, and the kids aren't hating it?
That's a great question. Can be a struggle.
But the food groups kind of lay it out so that your vegetables are more. So if you're used to making peanut butter and jelly, a bag of chips, and a fruit juice, you're going to want to rethink that because that's a lot of sugar. A lot of carbs, processed food that you don't really need. More. So when we talk about food groups, we're saying, okay, well, change that up a little bit and have
applesauce. Yeah. Anna likes to take a bag of pecans because that's the only way she likes to eat.
So she's getting
nuts. That's how she's getting her protein.
Yeah.
So how are you? So we have a vegetarian daughter. What are we doing to help her eat her protein? Because she sucks at supplementing her protein.
Yeah. So she ends up eating peanuts. She has a lot of stuff at home more than school because she has no way to heat up, let's say, vegetarian chili or soups and things like that. So you can do it in like a thermos, if she takes the time to heat it up in the morning, put it in a thermos, put it in her lunchbox.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and that doesn't usually happen. So she tries to eat popcorn.
Fiber, and I know she takes a lot of nuts.
Yep. And she takes a lot of just pasta. Straight vegetables and fruits, like an apple today and carrot sticks.
Mm. So okay, here's a question. When you're a kid, you don't want to be robbed of your kiddom. And part of that is you want occasionally, at least occasionally, you want a big bowl of Frosted Flakes. Or you want something bad for you, but it's great because you're a kid. And I don't want to rob even my kids of at least that experience. Like when I grew up and I had friends who had nothing but grape nuts in the fridge or in the fridge. I should have put that in the fridge.
But
just really boring, like powdered milk and just blah, you know, like the worst house. You never wanted to go there because it was all either too healthy or too terrible. And instead, you know, occasionally a kid's like, I want a bag of Cheetos. So I noticed in our pantry, we've got a big bag of what look like Cheetos, but they're kind of not. What are those, Kim? They're better for you.
There's just like a take on Cheetos, but well, they're really good. You.
Yeah. Actually, I was surprised. I'm always skeptical of things like that. I'm like, oh, it's going to taste nasty. They're really good.
Yeah.
So good. I think it's trial and error. You have to check some things out because some will be nasty, but some of it, they've actually gotten really good at, I think, making it tasty and not having all the GMOs in it. And I tried it with my kids. I let them take one treat a day. So we have a variety of pudding or, the Rice Krispie treats or something like that. So they can take, I'm the same way. I don't want to eliminate all of that or keep it so that they want to hide when they have a treat by any means. So I try to make sure that they have a choice of something that they can have that sounds more fun than carrots.
So what's a GMO? Remind me, GMO.
Genetically modified.
Organism.
Yeah. Okay.
So wheats and soy and all that have now been so genetically modified that's why they were having so many problems processing it. So they have chemicals and stuff in it that they've sprayed on the wheat before it's even grown.
So wheat, our body can't process it very well.
So it sits in your gut.
Yeah,
and it
just kind of
causes
there.
A lot of problems.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to know. So, all right. I'm cool with that. Yeah, anytime Cheetos don't taste like packing foam, I'm in.
That's right.
You can find tips like this all the time at Geek Food, on the website, which is at frogpants.com/geekfood. But you can find even better tips on their podcast, which is also found there as well. You guys have a recent episode up. And you've got... an interview coming up. What was it? Remind me who you interviewed. What's going on there?
That's studying to be a dietitian.
And she's an amazing resource. She studies everything so thoroughly, and she's just a lot of fun. We're going to start actually a new segment called Cooking with Kelly soon.
Really?
Because she's an amazing cook, and she just really delves into all of what your food's made of. Like, she likes to know what is in her food and enjoy it. She's like, why eat food that's gross? Why eat food that doesn't taste good? You know, you should enjoy your food, and it should be well made.
Well, can you ask her if it's just how bad it is for me to eat an entire sleeve of Oreos in one sitting?
Oh, wow. She'd have a lot to say, I think. I think we have a lot to say on that.
You will be in trouble, sir.
Your body will not like it.
No, that's not good. Don't do it, guys. I've done it.
Our three rules are use your food groups, lots of variety, and know what's in your food.
Yeah. There you go. That's not bad. That's good advice. Words to live by. Check them out, frogpants.com/geekfood. It's all right there. They are at The Geek Food on Twitter as well. And all over Instagram and everything else. You guys have a fantastic day. Make me something good, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. End that call every time with make me something good. Got a couple emails here. I'm going to rip through these real quick. They're brought to you by Extra Life, my comic strip, which is now 12 years old. Did you know that? As of June, 12 years old. Check out the entire archive at myextralife.com. There's even a joke up as of Friday. Directly about this Ben Affleck as Batman thing. So go check it out. Greetings, love and show, though, says Bruce. The Burning Man Festival starts this Monday. That would be today. And I will be going for the first time. If there happens to be any other Frog Pants fans out on the playa. Is that a thing? I don't know what that is. Look for a 30-year-old dude wearing a Warcraft druid pin and yell, you can eat rice or obey Henry, and I will respond. Anywho, I hope the Frog Pants community will say a quick prayer to whatever god they wish that we will all stay alive and hydrated. I don't know how you guys do that thing. That thing sounds miserable. Whatever. I like the desert. Maybe I'd be all right. I can't wait to hear a week's worth of shows in one sitting once I make it home again. Make all the jokes you wish about filthy hippies. You know you wish you were going to. Love the show, though, Bruce. All right, Bruce. Part of me does wish he was going. I mean, it's not Isn't there a lot of naked, weird, like weird naked people? Not the kind of naked you like, but kind of the kind you avoid. Doesn't that happen? Isn't that part of the Burning Man? Just call it the Naked Man. Hey, Scott and Brian says, Cortland, for the past 7 years, I've been working as a web designer to support myself and the business. My friends and I were trying to get off the ground. Finally, after all this time, we did it. We got funding for our company, Future Dude Studios, to produce an animation, a game, a comic book based off our idea, and an alternate dimension jumping sci-fi hero trying to save the multiverse from an evil dimension sprawling government. I'm going to be in charge of the game design for an Infinite Runner style game, kind of a Jetpack Joyride kind of game. Those are cool. I like those. I'm so happy. I had to let you guys know that you got me through much of the hard stuff over the past 3 years. Breakups, nearly losing my home, my parents getting divorced. I wanted to say thank you so much for everything. You give everyone so much of your time, energy, and spirit. Thank you. Also, if you wish to pass my thanks to everyone else, Scott Fletcher, Daryl, Wendy, Tom, Steven, Bill, Jury, Nicole, Sarah, Kim, and the soundboard, Cortland. Well, thanks, Cortland. I'm glad to hear. That's awesome. Love to hear good news. Sometimes we just hear about the bad stuff, but it's great to hear when people are succeeding and finding their way. That's awesome. Final email from Kim in PA. That's Pennsylvania. Scott, just busted in to agree with Patrick. Elysium is the worst picture in years. Oh, yeah. Brian was correct. Oprah produced Precious, not The Help. Okay, got it. We guess we screwed that up. New to the morning stream, not to you and Brian. Big Coverville fan. You on Twit, by the way. Or BYW. What does that mean? Twit. BYW. Anyway, the Stat Trek guy audio is very low. Hard to hear him. Really? I think Daryl sounds fine. You guys think Daryl's low? I don't think Daryl's low. Anyway, going to figure out how to listen live. Well, Kim and PA, I hope you can listen to us live and that you're here with the Tadpole. Unless you're here today. Are you here today? Anyone see Kim? Yeah, Daryl sounds fine. Yeah, I think they meant BTW, by the way, is what I think they meant. Yeah, Elysium, everyone I've talked to says it's real neat looking and they like the world and the idea behind it, but they just say the acting and the way they pull it off is just bad, which is really too bad because I thought District 9 was kind of awesome. All right, we're going to give away two sets of earbuds right now to our big winners, and they are, you guys entered via Twitter, you won these. I'll contact you after the show to give you your earbuds, but our big winners are Matthew Parker and Tyler Gossard. Gossard? G-O-S-S-A-R-D. Tyler Gossard and Matthew Parker. Congratulations. You won two sets of earbuds from Tweaked Audio. Big thanks to them. And congrats to you. They'll be coming in the mail very shortly. You'll get an email from me first to get all that information, but we'll get you taken care of. We'll have more contests coming soon. Watch us on Twitter for more. That Twitter address is Morningstream. That's it. What else? That's it. Let's get out of here. We're done. I want to thank AlphaGeekRadio.com as always for the Shoutcast stream this morning. Scott Fletcher for the voice work he does for the show. Buy our t-shirt at /loot.com, our mug and other cool stuff at frogpants.com/store as well. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. There'll be links to all the stuff I'm talking about there. On Facebook, you'll find us at /TheMorningStream. Email us, TheMorningStream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find me at Scott Johnson. You can find Brian at Coverville. And you can find us both at Morning Stream. That's Morning Stream without the. Without the. All right. We got a request and a song. You guys want to hear it? Usually Brian does this, so I got to get my poo in order here. Here we go. Okay. Dear Spock and Bones. I think that might be the first time you guys use that reference. That's pretty good. On the 25th of August, I will celebrate completion of my 26th orbit around the big ball of fiery gas, and I felt fitting to make a request out of it. Now, I know the 25th is a Sunday, so if you fit this in, I'm fine with it being before or after the 25th. Excuse me. As such, I'd like to hear a cover of Living Colors' Cult of Personality. If you don't have one, I'll take a song of a similar scope to that. I've been listening to TMS since episode 1 and haven't missed one yet. Always in podcast form, though. Let's see. Stupid retail, and I'm having to start my shift at 9 a.m. 8 in the only time zone that matters. All right. We understand. I'm glad you're listening at all, so that's fine. Times aren't always easy for me to imagine that aren't always easy for me. Or what? Times aren't always easy for me as I imagine they aren't always easy for anyone I know. I'm glad to have you in my ears. That's a rough sentence. I have fond appreciation for your episodic installments, however, says Chris Rains. Well, Chris, I guess we've got that song for you. I have zero background info on it because this is what Brian does. Brian's really good at this. It's from Scandalous All-Stars, Cult of Personality. We'll be back tomorrow. Bill Duran, jury duty, and a full episode of Fiery Goodness. Tune back in then. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you for listening at home. See you guys tomorrow.
Frogpants Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Slurp my butt.